Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Colin Bird again, Executive Chairman of Galileo Resources. Welcome back, Colin. How's things?
Great. They're just as good as they were, and looking forward to the week.
Excellent. So let's talk a bit about Galileo then. So the latest update that we've seen, which I thought was excellent, was the commencement of drilling at the Luansobi copper project in Zambia. It looks like all stations are go there. Do you want to give us a bit more of an update on that?
Yes. So, of course, Phil. Well, commencement of drilling would suggest that we're looking for something. It's been found, Phil. You know, we've announced between 3.5 to 5 million tons of open pit copper ore with a stripping ratio of less than 6. So this drilling is to test that 30 meters between surface and the known ore. Because, you know, when you're pit planning, you really need to know how much of your pre-strip, if you like, to get to the pay, how much of that you've got to do in order to get to the pay. And of course, that is expensive because you don't get any money. So this is basically will be a set of largely vertical holes aimed to see if there's any mineralization between 0 and 30 meters, let's say 50 meters. And so it's actually started. We're drilling. We had that very encouraging result when we went to the core sheds and re-logged the material. There's something, if you had 5 geologists in the room, 10 geologists in the room, 9 out of 10 would say there's nothing there. And yet we ran the XRF over it and we got some 2%ers and we found a black shale band.
So that was 96 samples, I believe, that were run through.
Yeah, you know, and it looked as miserable as hell. The chance of being any copper in there was zilch. But there you are. So, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. And so that's very pleasing results. Of course, we've got to remodel that into the entire model. I think that'll take the actual ore body to surface. But why are we drilling? Why are we drilling, Phil? Why are we drilling, Kevin? We're drilling now for definition because I want to be able to put a tender document out to the contractors very shortly, as soon as I possibly can. I hate making forecasts on these podcasts because you generally get hung by them, but as fast as I can, I'm going to get a pit model out, which will show the benches, which will show, you know, the grade distribution, which will show the tons per bench. And Addison of London will be doing as a pit profile, which is of high enough quality, enough definition for mining contractors to make an assessment of what it will cost to deliver 1 ton of rock, 1 ton of pay rock to the pad. I like those sort of deals where you don't pay so much for the waste, you don't pay so much for the ore. You actually charge the contractor to deliver a set grade, and so therefore you've got to know your grade, and then you pay per ton of rock delivered to the pad, and you've got a lot more control over him. So as soon as I put that out, we've got a mine there between 8 and 10 years at 500,000 a year. That's something more serious than I've been involved in before at Galileo. That's very nice. Thank you very much.
Yes, yeah, so you're confident that you can take this from a conceptual pit to an actual into production?
Oh, I've got no doubt in my mind. It fits, you know, it's just about ticked every single box now. And remember, we're only about 9 or 10 kilometers away from the Muffler area facilities. A lot of them are, you know, a lot of them are defunct now, but they've got an investment bank in there selling the assets, and there's nearby processing capabilities. I'd be very disappointed if I've got to build my own dedicated facility, because I think there's facilities close enough to do some sort of a deal with. So I'm very, very, very bullish on that Luansobi open pit. And of course, the open pit is only the start of it. And the deepest hole is down to 1,250 meters. So do you go X the open pit into the underground? Is it big enough for a major to want to sink a shaft there and do another muffle area? Yet to be seen.
And tell me, Colin, while we're on Galileo, what sort of cash reserves? I mean, we've got a 10 million market cap. What sort of cash reserves are in and also promised to come in terms of Galileo?
Well, if everything what comes in, and November's the D-Day, if everything what comes in, we've got about as much cash in market cap possibly a little bit more. If that, for any reason, that didn't come in, we're 40% covered by cash. So I can certainly cover everything I have to do with the cash we've got.
Okay, very good. So if this thing happens in November, basically everything that you're doing at the minute is absolutely free in terms of
it's
this
absolutely thing. Free. And then look at 520 square kilometers surrounding the Kamatavi mine, you know, one of the world's oldest tin mines, which has got 0.58 lithium in the dump. So 0.58 lithium isn't bad in its own right, but of course it got lost in all parts of the circuits. So I understand the primary lithium was about 1.25%, 1.5%. So there you are. We've been there and we're sampling there. So that's in Zimbabwe. That's extremely exciting. Extremely exciting. I mean, these acquisitions were all made in the same 3 or 4 months, you know, with Lunsabi, Kamatavi. And then, of course, with the Kamatavi, we also picked up those Bulawayo gold. Now, we've flown that. We've flown the Bulawayo gold already because it got such a strong signature that, and it was so big, you couldn't do it justice on the ground. So we've gone and flown it. And we'll be talking about that later when we've got the actual results in a form that we could share with the market.
So geographically, Colin, where are the main assets in Galileo?
Zimbabwe and Zambia.
Okay, so everything is in Zimbabwe and Zambia.
Well, not really. Remember, you've got Glenover, which is in northwest, in the northwest there, and that's what we're selling to Afrimat. And so if they intend to go along with the second round of their purchase, that's where the second lot of funds come in November from South Africa.
Okay, and they have an out on that? If they choose not to do it, then what is
but
the
they
situation?
Have an out, they, yes, they have an out on that. It's an option they've got. You know, we've already received, I think, 4 million. We sold the vermiculite to them. They've got an option on the 7.5 million tons of apatite and the rare earths. Within a total buyout, there are combinations, of course. They may decide they've not got an appetite for rare earths, and the rare earths might, the gang from the flotation might return to us, who knows. But as we sit now, it's over to them, you know. I really can't predict whether they will or whether they won't. But of the 600 million sale, we've received about half of it. 600 million rand, that was.
600 million rand, yeah. So tell us, Colin, also, it never ceases to amaze me the number of assets that Galileo has. And I think we've talked in the past about, is it the Kamativi Lithium Project? Do you want to give us a bit more of an update on that? Because I think last time you were looking at, was it reconnaissance mapping and sampling visits?
Yeah, well, that's right, you know. And we just completed a six-week program. We sent the results off to three laboratories to make sure we get it right. Lithium isn't particularly complex, but I want some consistency. We've also, with the XRF, not very good at sampling for lithium, but some of the elements which it is good at assaying for, the XRF machine, there's a distinct ratio between two elements, which indicates the presence of lithium. And I feel quite good about that. But you remember, you know, this is not a one-shot saloon. We've got all of the pegmatites surrounding what was one of the world's longest serving tin mines. And so from that aspect, we stand a good chance too of finding a tin deposit. So can you imagine, you know, if you want to get back to dreamland again, tin and lithium in the same stable, because these pegmatites are all in the same unit. But the chances of finding lithium are extremely good. That's what we're there for the lithium. But plan B wouldn't break my heart if all of a sudden we found much more tin. And remember, there's been two big sales to the Chinese in Zimbabwe of lithium. I think one of them was as much as $400 million.
But tin is now seriously, there is a serious, what's the opposite of surplus? There is a serious
deficit
of tin on the planet, basically, isn't there? Just,
yeah,
not,
absolutely. It went up as high as 43,000. It got shot at during this last drop down in commodities. But, you know, I mean, it's a very good metal to be in. And Zimbabwe, you know, Zimbabwe's opened up to foreign investment, making all of the right noises and all of the right actions. So hopefully they're in front of the crowd again.
So, to Colin, one question. Do you think we talked also about you got some preliminary drill results at the Shinganda project. How long would you think we're going to anticipate to wait for the further results on that?
Well, fancy, you know, that coming at the end of the conversation, you know, Phil. That I think that just sums it all up, doesn't it? Yeah, I think you've summed it up by default, Phil. That's come up at the end of the conversation. And there we were, 55 metres at 1.5% copper. That reminds me of when we found Calambila. That's the sort of result that nobody is putting out. So, Nick, what we're doing now, you know, I've always tried to be absolutely frank with you on these interviews. We're scratching our heads. We really are scratching our heads. We've got no doubt in our mind that the hematite is running the show. Vale, the Brazilian company, they did a lot of work there and they established a trend which they thought hosted the mineralization. I think that trend wasn't the trend. I actually think that the hematite runs matters. I think the hematite is probably structurally controlled. We've seen a lot of brecciation. We've seen a lot of magnetite, and as I say, we've seen a lot of hematite. Now, there's enough of these exposures to actually, you know, you could say, well, if you really think hematite's driving it, why don't you go and do a, you know, a gravity survey? And I think we're beyond that. The drill targets are there because we've got hematite showings here, there, and everywhere. They do line up. And so the next step, to answer your question, Phil, I'm sorry, I've gone around the houses a little bit, but the next step will be to drill under those for continuity. And then, of course, there's been a strong suggestion, and we've seen it in surface samples, that gold is in association. So I really am now sitting on the end of my seat wondering if there's any gold in association with these very good copper results. So Shinganda, I wouldn't know where to rank it, but it, you know, when you start getting 50 odd meters at 1.5%, it makes you sit on the edge of your seat a little bit, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, I mean, I was just looking back over those were the initial results, and it's just still gobsmacks me how good they were.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I say, you know, I say it with a smile on my face that we left it to last, when in actual fact, where does it fit? And it just does show the strength of the portfolio, Kevin. It really shows it.
Yeah, I mean, you've got 3, 4, 5 assets there. I think if one comes good in any way, shape or form, then you've basically got multiples of the current share price with the amount of cash probably available as well to move forward on all these projects. So
to get value.
Yeah.
Galileo. You don't need to prove them, Kevin. You know, you can, but we've got enough cash to get the value out to give the market the confidence.
Yeah, so it's all looking extremely rosy, but for some reason, market cap just doesn't seem to be responding in that respect, does it? But time will tell.
Yeah, that's one share that I can sort of mentally track the rationale and the reason behind the ups and downs of most of the things I'm in, but Galileo confounds me. It really does confound me because we have got a market now. We have got a very, I mean, you know, if you look back, I bet it's 8 years now, but for the retail, you know, we reckon that junior mining's in a bit of a state, but for retail, it had been in a much, much bloody worse state, much, much worse state. And we've got a retail sector what really understands. You've got a few gurus who are followed. You've got quite a few guys who can compare A with B with C, you know, when we've talked about companies, and you've got some guys who follow their leaders, but you've got a very sophisticated retail section in general. And I'm surprised that this one just peeps its nose over one, then out come the snipers and shoots its head off, and down it goes 0.95, 0.9, 0.875, you know. And I, for the life of me, I can't get to that. I can't get to that. And what I've learned, Kevin, is not to cry in my beer, not to sit looking at my share price every 5 minutes. What I have learned, I've seen enough 3-day wonders to not be one of those. I want to be a company which is building on news release to news release, placing to placing. Now, Galileo confounds me, continues to confound me, has done for a year or so now. But with a portfolio like it's got to have its day in the sun. it has got to have its day in the sun. And the wise man will put the noise away and position himself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think hopefully when people listen to this, they'll understand that and wait, because I think it's worth quite a few factors of what it is now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Very good. Well, okay. Colin, as usual, it's been a pleasure as usual, and we look forward to you updating the market again soon.
Thank you very much indeed. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Colin.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.